I'm on Cable Street and I'm at Cable Park, but I'm not about to speak to someone with the surname Cable, but I am talking to someone with a strong connection to what was something that was so important to the British Empire going back to the early 1900s. And I'm here with Lynn McDonald and her son, Rob McDonald, who have a really strong connection to here. Lynn, you're visiting from New Zealand. In fact, you've written an entire thesis about this as part of your master's studies at university. We won't have enough time for a whole thesis. But to be here at Cable Park, what's the connection with your family?
My great-grandfather and grandfather both worked for the Cable. My grandfather was trained at the Southport Training School, and my great-grandfather worked for the other cable company, which ran through countries other than British Empire possessions. So my great-grandfather was posted in Ireland when my grandfather was born.
It is an amazing feat of engineering, isn't it, this cable? These days, we live in such a different world. You know, we just send messages left, right and centre all over the world via text, via Twitter, whatever it might be. But this was astounding, wasn't it?
It was a huge feat of engineering. At first, it was thought it couldn't be done. They were looking for a link from Banfield in Vancouver to through the Pacific. And the distances were just too great to stick to an all-red route. Eventually, though, they decided on the Fanning Island link, which is part of the Line Islands, which is also part of Kiribati. And the distance to be covered was just under 4,000 miles. They laid the cable off a specially built cable ship without any breaks occurring. And that is a huge feat, considering how much cable they would have had to carry for a start.
And maybe you'd have to, you know, travel over the ocean to just understand how far and wide and deep they were having to have this cable in order to connect Australia to the rest of the empire. So Southport obviously sounds like it played a pretty important role in all of this.
Yes, well, it had the training school and it was the preferred landing place for the cable to Australia. They had to have a sandy beach in order to land the cable safely. And the story of the landing at Southport includes the fact that the winch that they had wasn't strong enough to pull the length of cable ashore, so they had to use members from the Southport Surf Life Saving Club. And that was in 1902.
So the cable itself actually comes here at this point. It stops in what is Cable Park, and this is just at Main Beach. It's just off the beach here, really. And then Cable Street, and from here it went across the river and into Southport, where the rest of the station was at Bower Street. There's still a little bit of that history, isn't there? Rob, you live here now on the coast. You've moved from New Zealand, which is where most of your family resides. The Southport School has a little piece of history there as well?
Yeah, I understand that the cable station was relocated to the Southport School, and they were quite instrumental in organising the centenary celebrations in 2002. They now use the building as the music department there.
Rob, what does it mean to you? I mean, you would never have imagined that you were going to one day live on the Gold Coast, and there's kind of, you know, there's family history here in this little park in Main Beach. What does that feel like for you?
Yeah, moving here, we never really realised that there was that family connection with the Gold Coast of all places, growing up somewhere like Auckland. But when I did move here, I was made aware that there was the cable park and the cable came in here. So one of the first things my wife and I did was to hop on our bikes and ride down here and check it out.
Cable Street and Cable Park is where we are. To find out what's in a name, I'm with Lynn and Rob McDonald. Lynn, Rob's mum, is just visiting from New Zealand at the moment. Just happened to be good timing to find out about our connection to the rest of the world going all that way back. What's the most, when you did so much... you know, investigation and research into everything, what's the most thrilling part of it, the most exciting part of that cable?
I think it's imagining it was sort of the precursor to the internet in a way. It provided fast and efficient communications with the rest of the world. The previous cable hadn't done that. It had long periods where it was down, and communications with Australia and the rest of the world were completely cut off. But this cable was very reliable. It had a few breaks, especially during World War One when it was cut by the Germans at Fanning Island. That's another whole story. But I think it was the feat of engineering that they managed to do it and keep it going in the Pacific, in the hot climate, for that length of time, till 1962, when it was overtaken by other technology. But Apparently, I'm told, this may just be an urban myth, but it is still there on the bottom of the sea, buried in the mud, and it could still be used, but that may just be an urban myth. I don't know. Someone told me that.